discretion is advised. 3, 2, 1, go! Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Paul Tracy, race car driver's in here tonight. Paul's going to be racing down at the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach this coming Sunday. Nice to have you on the show, Paul.
Back again.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, let's see. What the hell? We've had a lot of drivers on the show. You raced it last year, right?
Yeah.
Did you win?
No.
What happened?
I don't even remember.
Good. That's right. Put it behind you.
Yeah. That's right. I'm good at forgetting the bad and good at remembering the good.
Now, the cars, I was talking to a guy, I'm doing the celebrity race, so I was talking to one of the guys from one of the teams who was prepping the cars. So they're all basically the same engine, about the same horsepower, but the dialing in comes with the suspension and picking out the tires and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the series has become, you know, more spec than it has in the past. They've gone to a one engine manufacturer in Ford Cosworth, which is based right here in Torrance, California, where they build and assemble the engines. We have two car manufacturers. One is Raynard, one's Lola. We have one tire in Bridgestone. So the cars are pretty much, they all pulled out. All the Japanese manufacturers pulled out.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
How'd they keep their name on that thing?
I don't know. Well, they've been the race sponsor for a long time, so they continued.
They make
doing
cars,
that.
Therefore they put their name
on
cars.
No, I'm keeping it real. I'm driving a Celica.
Right. Well, maybe that's the part that still remains Toyota.
Yeah. I hope not.
The part that the pussy celebrity is driving.
Oh, how dare you? I got a whopping 183 horsepower under the hood. How dare you, Drew? Front wheels burning out. Nothing. No exhilaration like the feeling of the front wheels burning out.
Nice.
Drew. Yeah, that's exciting. That actually bothers me. I don't like that front wheel spinning stuff.
There's an art to it.
You don't have any front wheel drive
cars,
do you?
No, ours are rear wheel.
Yeah, but even your cars at home, right?
No.
You got
all rear wheel.
You got a Porsche, right?
Got a Porsche.
You got a turbo Porsche, right?
I just got a SL 500.
No, that's a nice car. Yeah.
The new engine?
That's a nice car.
You got the supercharged one?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Is that like the AMG?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
it's got
I sent it up the road here to some friends of mine at CEC over on Santa Monica, and it up some more.
With the supercharger or beyond the supercharger?
Just bought some extra body kit and 20-inch wheels. And
Jesus Christ. That's like that car's like $130,000.
Already.
Yeah? Yeah. So life is good. Yeah.
Life is good.
Well, you park that next to the Porsche. And what about that Porsche? You looking to unload that cheap now?
No, I still got it. Yeah, I like that car.
I keep telling Drew to get some a sports car. He wants to do it, but he's too big a puss.
Yeah.
Speaking of calling me a puss, Drew, how long have you been talking about getting a sports car?
He's got some big wheels on the truck.
Yeah, he's looking at that. Wait, this is Wednesday, 7 years.
7 years and nothing. Won't commit. We'll talk cars during the break, Paul. So I got some wheels myself.
All right. And you had the Jag last year.
Oh, yeah.
The supercharged Jag.
Oh, yeah. See, Paul knows. See, he's a car guy. He's got a good head for that. All right. Let's talk to Jen, who's on line 5. Jen?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
The last couple of times my boyfriend and I have had sex, my clit has swelled up like really big. And I was just wondering what you think that could be.
Plain old irritation. I've heard of that happening. It's not unheard of, and it's usually from some sort of inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saying that it suddenly grew. It just gets swollen after the fact.
I don't know. I mean, it grows and it swells, like it's huge.
How big? Big toe.
Second toe.
I'd say it like doubled in size.
And it stayed that way?
Well, it went down a little bit. Like, it happened tonight again, and it went down a little bit. But, I can tell, the day after, it's still, a little bit swollen. And I just keep having sex. So it never, quite goes down. But
right, it's an inflammation. It's an the tissue, it's like any other tissue. It can swell up and get irritated.
You got to ice it down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a thing as clitoromegaly, where the thing can actually grow, and that's from hormones. If you're taking male hormones, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think I got that. Yeah, oh, no, wait
that's
a minute.
A penis.
Wait,
that's a penis.
That is?
Yes.
All right, good. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was momentarily relieved yes. there, Drew, and then well, upset. Least,
yes.
Then angered. So, Jen.
Was it a finger with a pinky without a toenail?
Oh, shut up. What about a nice bath, Drew?
Yeah.
Couldn't hoit, right?
What are you doing to irritate things so much? What's happening?
It's just after intercourse that it happens.
But are you guys doing something that sort of...
Nothing different. The only thing was, I'm on orthotricycline and deoxycycline. And
doxycycline, antibiotic?
Yeah, an antibiotic is a deoxycycline, and then the, not tetracycline.
Doxycycline is a tetracycline. And one thing that does give you a great yeast infection, and maybe that's what's happening that's causing the irritation down there.
Okay.
You just don't know it yet. You haven't had the discharge and all that stuff.
It's no discharge. It's just, it's like right after we have sex.
All right, sit in that tub, baby doll. Yeah.
Sure maybe he's, is he shaved or he has stubble that could irritate?
No.
Good question.
No.
No? All right. So what should she do, Drew?
Nothing.
Nothing. There you go, Jen.
Okay.
That's my favorite advice.
You're okay.
Okay.
Just don't, well, just give it a break. Give it a rest.
Yeah. All right. Elevate your crotch. That's what I do. I sleep like a bat. My balls hang the other way. I can hang down toward my chin. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
I'm listening.
Okay. As long as you're listening. Paul, are you listening?
I'm listening.
Okay. Brandy?
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
All right. You're 17. What's up?
Well, I've had this thing for a while now. I have a boyfriend, and I've been trying to have an orgasm, and it just has not happened. And we've tried a lot of stuff, like right, the whole knee masturbating and
the average 17-year-old isn't quite able to do this. Female.
Really?
Yeah.
Because like I'll talk to my friends and they're like, yeah, I couldn't and now I can.
Yeah, a lot of them get to that point earlier than others, but the window you expect to get going is around 18 to 22.
Really?
So yeah, it's just the way the biology works and the way your central nervous system
is. Is it the masturbation window or the orgasm
window? It's the orgasm window. She's already entered the masturbation window, but it's not working.
Can she squeeze in through the orgasm doggy door or something, make her way into the orgasm
house? She's been trying, it doesn't work. Can you see that?
Tried the doggy door?
Does that trigger it or
no? It's just you know, having a good intimate relationship, exploring these things, it'll start to kind of sync up. Yeah,
I'm going back to the tub one more
time. Don't push
it.
Don't push it.
The ladies enjoy the tub. They like the water.
Adam's got a good suggestion for you.
How about a little water from the tub there, Brandy?
Do you know what he means?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you tried that out?
We've tried so many things. I've just like
this isn't a we unless you mean you and your vagina.
Well,
This is you job.
Yes.
Yeah? Did she say she could do one on her own?
She doesn't do it by herself.
Yeah. I can have one, like, with me on my own. I can have one, you know, with oral sex. I just cannot have
it. Oh, you have it with oral sex?
Oh, please. Oh, you're breaking
Brandy,
my heart.
That may always be the way it is. That's most women.
You should get one off of the oral sex at 17. That's pretty
good.
That's
way ahead. That's doing fine.
I'm trying to think of the amount of, I don't know. I don't know if any woman can have one through intercourse, Drew. I truly don't.
Well, not many.
That's right. Listen to the doctor, everybody. He knows. Man is a genius and never wrong. Never. You've never heard me question you, have you, Drew?
It's probably most women don't, except on rare occasion during intercourse.
Drew is rarely right.
But we're still talking about millions and millions of women that do.
Yeah, where are they? Who's been keeping them where? In Saddam's bunker?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they? Never run across one of them. And it can't be me.
No.
Paul, can't be me, right?
No. Can't be you.
That's right.
No.
So, Dave?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
My girlfriend, she had some condoms in her room, and she's going shopping for prom jewelry, and her mom found the condoms. And
what is the prom jewelry and the
Well, you know what we did is we hid them in our jewelry box. And her mom is making a gynecologist appointment for her next week. Uh-huh. And she's all scared because she's heard bad things, like it hurts and all that stuff.
Well, if you guys are having sex, you're 20. How old is she?
She's 17.
All right. Well, you know, sort of a iffiness there, right?
Well, we've been together for 3 years.
They're going to the prom, for Christ's sake, right. Drew. They went shopping for prom jewelry.
But most importantly, she needs to see the gynecologist if she's sexually active. It's going to be fine.
But what about mom? Is she mad?
She's had a talk with us, and we're not allowed to be alone anymore.
what did that talk consist of? How did that go down? Excuse the expression.
Yesterday, the talk went down. Yesterday, when I fell asleep at her house, and when I woke up, my girlfriend was like, "Hey, Mama wants to talk to you." And she's like, "Yeah, I want to talk." And she said, she laid down some rules about how we can't be alone. I can't be there when she's not there and all this other stuff. And my girlfriend told me that she had made an appointment and her mom told her these things that, like, it hurts and they do, I don't know, you know. And I'm just kind of wondering
The mom was scaring your girlfriend about the gynecologist.
Yeah, and she said she looked on the internet and she said she's heard some bad things, but I don't know what goes on.
Now, Dave, look, every woman of reproductive age who is sexually active must see a gynecologist or a doctor for pelvic exams every year, period. You haven't heard too many complaints from the entire population, have you?
Well,
I don't think any of them enjoy it.
No, no one enjoys it, nor do the men enjoy the prostate exams that follow after 40. But that's it.
Yes, that's right. Touché, ladies. I may enjoy mine. I don't know.
I was going to say, Adam, notwithstanding to the contrary.
My last...
How come he's asleep on the couch at the
That was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah, I wondered that myself.
Yeah, I was kind of curious to that, too. She came in like, should we get back into that?
No.
I'm thinking about all my parents, my friend's parents, and all the yelling at her. I got yelled at, disciplined. I actually been hit twice by my friend's parents.
No.
I'm the only guy I know...
Ray's mom.
No? Ray's mom... Oh, man. Ray's mom. My buddy Ray's mom. Ray was babysitting. I grabbed, I was like 14. I was sleeping over there. I grabbed his Frisky magazine, you know, crazy 60s pornography, like topless chicks in huge panties, shaking cocktails, you know, like just crazy with beehives, like crazy 60s porn, you know. And they all had those huge cans with big saucer nipples. I don't know what was going on in the 60s, but that look was in. And I had the Frisky magazine, and I was checking it out, and I was in Ray's room, and I was sleeping on the floor where I belong. And Ray's mom comes in, and she's like, what are you doing down there on the floor? I'm like, nothing. I'm getting ready to go to bed. And she's like, well, you shouldn't be sleeping on the floor. You should sleep on a mattress. I said, no, I'm comfortable. She's like, I won't have it. Get up. I'm putting you on a mattress. Now I got the Frisky magazine. It's stuffed under the blanket. Right? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. She's like, get up. I'm fine. No, I will not have you sleeping on the floor. So I pick up the cover around the Frisky magazine, and now I'm holding basically the Frisky magazine. It's covered like a birdcage.
Right,
it'd be covered.
Right.
Now she grabs the end of my blanket. She's like, oh, let me make it out. And I'm like, no, I'll spread it out. I got it. She's like, no, let's make the bed. I'm like,
tug of war.
It's like a sitcom. So now I give her like half the blanket, but I'm still holding like the Frisky side, you know, and I'm trying to make it where I'm putting the Frisky down and not letting her see what's going on. And she never does find the Frisky.
No.
I get the thing down.
Wow.
She leaves. You know, I'm like, it's under control. I got it. Then Ray comes home that night. A close call with your mom and the Frisky. Then the following morning, he tells her while I'm eating breakfast, hey, guess who had the Frisky?
Last night.
That's why he was hanging on to the blanket. Yeah, so I thought I'd dodged a Frisky bullet.
Oh, my God.
But
that is so Ray.
A beat down at breakfast.
Yeah,
so to
very
speak.
Humiliating.
Just before breakfast, actually.
Very humiliating.
Right?
Yeah. And I've been physically hit, like I said, two times.
But not Ray's mom.
No. Not Ray's mom, but two other parents.
Well, it's understandable. All your friends blamed you for their truancy.
I think a lot of my...
Their delinquency was blamed on you.
There was a lot of notes going home from school and stuff saying you're sitting too close to, you shouldn't associate with.
Shouldn't talk
you were
to.
The Eddie
you're bringing
you were
him
the
down.
Eddie Haskell.
That's right. I was the anchor around their scholastic leg. I was bringing them down with me. Yeah. Yeah. Now who's laughing with all your stupid kids making nothing? And look at me, a millionaire, literally a millionaire, Paul.
Paul's
feels
impressed.
Good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul's literally a millionaire, too.
He's just with his cars.
Yeah. $1 million worth of cars. All right. Where were we? Brian?
Hey.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I heard from a friend that you could take Benadryls to get, like, a hallucinating effect. And I had ended up popping 18, and I ate a little too much to eat. So I ended up, like, I felt sick for about an hour, knew I was going to throw up. So I went to the toilet. I threw up a lot. About 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden my nose started to bleed.
Mm-mm.
And every time I threw up again, my nose would, like, bleed more, mm-hmm. and it would pour out even mm-hmm. more.
Right.
And then after that, everything was fine. I was high, and everything was cool. But and then I heard the next day that, like, I almost overdosed from a friend.
Well, you did overdose. That's why you hallucinate. That's...
Well, yeah, I mean, I was trying to overdose to get high, but not to, like, over-overdose. And I want to know if that was, like, close.
Hold on. You want to overdose, but not over-overdose?
Right, yeah.
You want to take it right to the edge of death and hold it back? How do you know where that line is?
Well, there's a site, Arrowhead, and you can look up. I mean, it's just from experiences from people, nothing, like, proven, so it's kind of like...
I'm a physician. I don't know how to take you to that point and hold you.
Right. Well, it had, like, body weight.
Brian.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one can tell you that.
Right.
I mean, you're working pretty hard to cop a buzz at 15, Brian.
Yeah, I've had recent... I actually called in Thursday.
Great.
I've had recent, like, for the past 2 years, I've messed around with drugs, and just, like, a weak experiment.
All right. Well, this is called an anticholinergic delirium.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can get pretty sick and pretty out of it for quite some time with that and do all kinds of dangerous things.
Yeah. Well, you learned your lesson. That's the important part, right, Brian?
Right.
No more drugs until this weekend?
Yeah, I'm actually in therapy, so it's kind of coming down a little bit.
Have you told your therapist what you're doing?
Yeah, I've told him pretty much everything.
All right.
I actually have a question about a friend who's doing Benadryl still.
Mm-hmm.
He's... Like, it's not an everyday thing, but I think it's, like, once a week. Mm-hmm. I'm not positive, but from what he tells me.
Yeah.
He's taking, like, 12, 14 usually.
All right.
And he's been doing
what,
this
you get speedy
like,
off of that?
Yeah, you get,
I've never heard of anything like this. Maybe I'm out of the loop.
It's from the anticholinergic side effects. It literally is, I mean, it's the kind of side effect that you'd find terribly unpleasant from a medication. If I give you a medicine that did that to you, you'd go, hey, you know, don't ever give me that again.
Why? What's
it's,
it do?
It's dry. You're dry, and that's why his nose is bleeding. He dries out.
Oh, yeah.
You're sped up. You're hallucinating. And the hallucinations are, they're like a manic, bizarre hallucinations.
Yeah. It's like all your imagination, I'm pretty sure. Weird things showed up.
Yeah, it's your brain.
You think, Peter, it's all your imagination?
Well, yeah, you know.
Okay, that's what you're saying.
You're insane.
You mean you weren't actually seeing those objects flying around the room?
You say it's imagination.
Like, it wasn't a solid object. It was kind of like you could see through. It's clear.
Yeah.
But like it, you know.
It's not your imagination. It's your brain not working right.
Right.
And eventually it gets to the point where it misfires and you seize. It's great. It's good times.
Is that what a seizure is?
You will eventually, yeah, with this.
Your brain misfires?
Well, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. That's the way to think about it.
All right. Hey, hey, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah, you stick with that therapy.
Yeah.
You lay off the drugs.
Yeah, a little bit.
And good times, though, right?
Great times, yeah.
Great times.
All right, there, buddy.
All right, thanks, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Brian, take care.
I do worry. I worry about the guys that are like really aggressively trying to cop the buzz at 15 years old. You know, like at 15, I wanted to get drunk just to have a good time, but I wasn't that like. I wasn't drinking furniture polish on a weeknight.
Well, it turns out there's a certain percentage of humans are, and you may be in this category, are novelty seeking. Race car drivers tend to be novelty seekers, tend to like thrill. But it's really, it's more than thrill, it's novelty. They need novelty all the time. But people used to, you know, in our culture we call
it... What do you mean they need novelty all the time? Like those little penises that hop around that you wind up?
Novelty penises?
Well, I'm just saying...
Yeah, they need to have those all around them and to be happy.
That's what I'm thinking about, Paul.
No, but our culture has called those people curious historically, but they really are not curious. They need the stimulation of new thrill all the time. They don't feel right. They feel bored and uncomfortable.
Like an explorer in the past?
Yes, I would suppose so, but it needs to be on a thrill level. There has to be constant stimulation of that sort, or they're just bored.
I would agree with that, but yeah. I don't seek any interest in doing anything else. Like, I don't have any interest to try drugs.
No, but you found a great way to...
Bungee cord jumping or anything like that, or planes or this or that.
You can see how the novelty seeking can be very adaptive, because you can find a way to focus it and really becomes a passion. Yeah. You use it and drive fast and keep pushing the limits of that, and now you feel good. But kids with Brian's age, with not much else going on, it's Benadryl.
I think probably limited funds, too. It's easier to carry 5 packs of Benadryl out of a drugstore than 2 cases of beer under your arm.
Yeah, or a $2 million race car.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, so what do you think somebody like Paul, if he grew up in some place that had no outlet
he would,
for his passion or thrill-seeking?
I don't want to talk to Paul. He gives me the creeps, this kid. It's his seeking, his novel seeking is what frightens me the most.
I grew up in a big city.
Well,
so,
but I'm saying he would Paul wouldn't know. I don't know if Paul would
know. It'd be hard for him to say probably. But
he could say he'd be strung out on heroin.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he would need more stimulation than average. He'd be the kind of kid that would be jumping off furniture. Was that you? You'd do stuff.
No.
Like that.
I'm pretty calm, example, really, but I just was able to. I started racing at a very young age, at 6 years old.
He was doing that instead.
The skills that age and... I grew up in a big city in Toronto, which is, you know, it was 3-4 million people at that time when I was a kid. And there was, you had exposure as a teenager to everything, clubs and drugs and drinking and all that. It never really interests me.
He's going to strip bars at 7, see.
When he said racing, that's a euphemism for going to strip bars.
Yeah, I didn't actually think he said clubs at 7, he said it.
All right, anyway. Well, here's what I'm saying, Drew. I'm saying, do you think Paul would have the kind of personality that would get into this stuff if he had no other outlet?
I would say it would not be like Brian, but that he would be looking for things that he liked, which he ultimately found.
You just call Paul a junkie.
You're a heroin addict.
That's what I said. All right, Paul Tracy, race car driver and junkie. Mm-hmm. Here tonight, Toyota Grand Prix coming up this Sunday. I'll be doing the Saturday race with the real men. The guys that like four cylinders and under 200 horsepower in a front-wheel drive automobile.
Hey, Donny Osmond got upside down in one of those things.
I know. I saw that. But, you know, Donny, well, you can crash. I mean, we were doing some practice laps, and Buzz Aldrin whacked the wall pretty good and screwed up his car. And you can
those
get up,
walls don't move.
You can get up to like 110 on that shoreline there. And, yeah, there could be a good crack-up. But I think Donny Osmond sort of did a low speed rollover, but still managed to flip his car.
Sure.
So it can be done. All right, so we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Next week, we got Sum 41, Chevelle, Foo Fighters, and Pete Yorn in here. Whoa, that's a full house. Paul Tracy, race car driver extraordinaire, is in here tonight. Paul is going to be racing this weekend at the Grand Prix. The Toyota Grand Prix, that is, out on the streets of Long Beach. And it's a good time. It's a nice event. Weather's usually good. It's right by the beach there. Couple, I don't know how many people show up. Got to be 150, 175. Yeah. Packed. A lot of good-looking chicks. Tons of good stuff. Free stickers, beer, and all that kind of stuff. And it's a nice event. I'm trying to think like it's one of these events where if you like car racing, you'll love it, and if you don't like car racing, you'll like it.
Mm. It's good people watching too.
Yeah. A lot of people with money showing up over there. Just the sounds, the smells.
Your part,
good.
The celebrity part, is what time?
That's Saturday I don't know, the middle of the day at some point. I don't know, like 1 o'clock or something like that. I got a feeling I'm going to crash a car.
Really?
that's the attitude I'm going in with. And then if I don't crash, it's gravy.
How do you feel about not being responsible for a car?
I'll tell you,
like if you write it off, it's skin off your back.
Oh, no. You're much more aggressive when you're driving.
It's somebody like else's
a
car.
A rental car, yeah. As a matter of fact, when I first started down at the driving school, the instructor had to tell me to stop letting go of the wheel. Like, stop driving with one hand and your elbow hanging out the window. And when you're coming out of the turn, stop just letting go of the wheel and letting the thing straighten up. Because that's the way I normally... You know, I got something to drink in my hand. I got my elbow out. Yeah. I got the telephone going. I'm not used to driving a 10 and 2.
Use your knees a little bit here and there.
Yeah. Use my knees, yeah. I mean, you're talking to a guy. I don't like to brag, but I've squeezed one off in a Datsun truck, 5-speed, on Rambla Pacifica up there. In,
not while you're on the cell phone, though.
No, I didn't have a cell phone back then. But the point is this is a guy who can drive with his knee. So, no problem.
Got it.
No problem. Mm-hmm. Shift with my balls. That's right.
Shift with your balls.
Break with my anus.
Break with your anus.
Oh, who the hell was that?
It's a Monique.
Oh, Lucy?
Hello.
Yep. You're 21. What's up?
Well, I was just calling on the comment that you had made earlier about that girl Bambi, and she had talked about how she's in an orgasm.
Right.
We
made the comment that millions
whatever.
Of women. Listen, Lucy.
Let her talk. Ask her question. Go ahead there, baby doll.
Or was it Brandy or something that she couldn't orgasm or something? You had said something like that you've never met a girl or heard of a girl who can orgasm
That's
on intercourse
right.
alone.
That's me, yes.
Was that you?
That's me.
I beg to differ.
Yeah? You're different?
I'm totally different.
Really?
Yeah, but I have a question for that, though. I was wondering that, do you think that maybe it has something to do with the fact that my boyfriend's like 15 years older and he knows what he's doing, or?
No. Some women have orgasms when they think about sex, they have an orgasm, or when they do sit-ups, they have orgasm.
No, because I'm two years older than your boyfriend, and I can't give anyone an orgasm.
And some women will never have an orgasm during intercourse, and the majority don't have it during intercourse. That means that there are still millions and millions of women that do, but if you just do an actual percentile,
uh-huh.
Most of them have it just with oral sex or some sort of direct stimulation.
But what about, okay, because I've dated a lot of guys, like, before him, and I've
When did your dad rape you?
Oh, no.
No.
That was the Adam who drives with his balls.
I'm fucking yeah. No, this was, like, I had a lot of sex before him, and he was the only one that could actually make me come.
But if you remember, we said that it starts getting easy. Let me finish this. It getting easier when you're around between 18 and 22. And so as you get older, it starts sinking up a little bit.
Yeah.
So
you loosen up a little bit.
The biology hooks up. You learn about yourself.
Yeah, you're like a catcher's mitt that gets broken in. Nothing wrong with that. Oil it up. Put the ball in there. Have Dad park the car on it overnight.
Well, I just
Paula Park is a new Mercedes.
Huh? You know what else is interesting, Lucy, is that women that have orgasms easily think that their friends who complain about having difficulty are somehow like lying. Like, how could that be? Impossible.
Well, women,
it's so easy.
Women have a difficult time. All human beings have a difficult time understanding how other people feel different
yes.
or act different
yes,
than they do.
That's right.
It's like when I found out Jimmy didn't like cashews.
Oh.
Are you high? He was like, I don't like him. How dare you? I don't believe you.
You're not my friend.
Then I start taking swings at him. I couldn't believe him. Then I say, what about the honey roasted ones? Nope, don't care for him.
Almonds?
No almonds.
What?
Now you're getting me angry.
The point is,
don't understand it. Right.
I think
Lucy.
It gets competitive with women, too.
Yeah.
One every time. Never do.
What's that, Lucy?
I said I have another question. Just out of curiosity, do you think that's weird that I would date somebody like 15 years older than me?
When did your dad rape you?
No.
A little bit.
It's a little bit.
Again?
She's 21.
Is
it like a daddy complex?
Not necessarily. What do you think it is?
I've had that concern every now and then, but I don't really think so.
Well, what's the nature of the relationship? Do you want to get married? Is just for fun? What's happening?
Well, I mean, it's a serious relationship, but we've never really thought that far. I mean, we talked about it, but it wasn't like...
Has he been divorced or anything?
No.
What does he make of this relationship?
I think he's pretty, like...
We don't have so much of a problem with him as you as much as suspicious about him.
What's he do? Is he do something with a restaurant?
Does he?
Yeah.
No.
What's he do?
Construction.
Well, he just works. I mean, he's... Normal guy.
What's his job?
She doesn't know.
He works at a video store.
At 36?
Really?
They run it?
What's he do at that video store?
He's the manager.
That's like being a restaurant manager,
no?
No.
No? No. That's no good. And what do you do?
I work at a retail store.
Video retail
store. Same place?
No, this is totally different.
All right. That's fine. Listen, don't get pregnant. You'll be fine. You're getting your orgasms. This guy knows. Lord knows he brings home a new porn every night. He knows how to handle himself in the sack. Probably brings home just a huge stack of porn. I said you bring home like a Santa
sack
full of porn
your fantasy about being maybe there's a future for you there.
Every night you see me just dragging this huge pillowcase full of porn out to the car, just dragging it because I can't lift it. Having some young employee help me lift it up into the trunk of the car. Car leans over, squats out the suspension in the back. I drag the bumper all the way home. Yeah. All right. Actually, DVDs. That's my new move.
Oh, you changed.
You rent those. Yeah.
You moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Wow, that's a big transition. For you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do with?
You got to keep moving forward. Keep moving forward.
And your bunker, the porn bunker.
Yeah.
You just made a new room for DVDs.
No, same room. I just took a wall out.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And it probably has one of those. It's like computerized, like a dry cleaner.
I can't talk about it.
Okay.
All right. Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. That dry cleaning thing with the crazy. With the crazy automated merry-go-round, yeah, like
that'd be a good invention.
It always goes up too; it goes up to another floor somewhere.
But there's like $170,000 worth of this tram system going on here, and about $8 worth of store.
Yes,
I always think to myself, couldn't you just hang it on something and just go grab it? Always a little difficulty with that thing too. They pass you, Corolla, C-A-R-O-O with a C-O-R. They start backing it up, It ends up taking longer because the thing takes 3 laps before your batch comes around or they miss it or something. Do you really? What goes on with that thing?
That's weird, huh?
It's got to cost a lot of money for one of those.
Yeah.
Paul, what do you think about that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It always seemed like...
You know, you go to the
dry cleaner. It may be a Southern California thing, number one.
Hmm?
I wonder. And number two, it always seemed like the clothing went up on the...
Yeah, it does go up.
And the dry cleaner all went on down below.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
I gotta look into this.
Whatever.
Anderson's actually agitated by our discussions tonight.
Ashley, you're 18. What's up?
I have two questions for you.
Yeah.
The first one is, can you get a yeast infection from oral sex?
I can.
Well, just about anything can sort of upset the chemistry of that region, and that can set you up for a yeast infection. But it's not as though you're likely to pass a yeast infection from the mouth.
Okay.
Because the guys, people that have yeast infections in their mouth are people that have autoimmune diseases or are on medication that suppress their immunity that cause the yeast to overgrow in the mouth.
Oh. Because I've had, like, reoccurring yeast infections for the last, like, 8 months.
Reoccurring yeast is a very common thing.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're just having oral sex?
No, I mean, I have regular sex, too, but it just, I mean, I stop, and it still comes back.
Were you using a condom?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes?
All the time.
How come, what are
Who's
you doing?
Who's honking that horn out there?
It's a car alarm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Won't go off.
People should be sued.
I went to the doctors, and, like, they checked me for diabetes, and everything.
Right, that's good. That's an important thing to do. How are they trying to treat it?
I just actually got a prescription today. They gave me 12 doses of Diflucan,
which is a lot.
Yeah, and they want me to take one every 3 days.
Yeah, and that will clear it up. And if there's anything else that you're sort of doing to yourself or introducing that's putting you at risk for that, it will come back.
Yeah, and then I have Terazol.
These are all very powerful yeast anti-yeast.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that will take.
No, it will make it go away, but it may not stay away.
I'm thinking about honking horns now, and I realize.
Oh my God. This is called tangential thinking, Paul.
I can't help it. If I'm going to hear nothing but a horn in the background or call, I got to focus on
horn. I'm thinking about how hot it is in here, isn't it?
It is hot in here,
oh
yes.
Oh, my God.
It's going to heat up when I'm done talking about honking my horn.
No doubt. I'll tell you that.
I would like to make a plea to all the folks on the West Coast, specifically the Southern California area, Los Angeles, to start using their goddamn horn just a little bit more.
Learn from the New Yorkers a little bit.
Now people go, oh, New York, oh, they honk, they're always honking. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have made a practice of honking through a couple of cars to the culprit car.
People get really pissed off in California.
They do. In California, you can make a right-hand turn on a red. There will be cars that will be parked on the red in the right-hand turn lane. There's no traffic coming. They're not turning right. And the two cars behind them
aren't honking. Yeah, you're right.
So I honk the horn, and I get the person in front of me give me the, hey, what do you want me to do? I got this car in front of me. And I give them the, start honking at that guy, you jackass. My horn's no good for my range. My horn's, I got like a half car, car and a half range.
It is your
job. You're just as guilty as the guy who's not turning right not honking.
You can get shot out here for that.
That's worth it.
And so I now then honk through cars at people. But I did something the other day, which is I actually honked at a car that I had nothing to do with. And this is where I've really taken my passion of honking to a new level. I was driving. I was going to make a left. There was a car just in the left-hand lane. And not in the turning left lane, but just in the regular lane. He wasn't going anywhere, and everyone was stacked up behind him, and the light was green. I slid up next to him. I noticed he was down looking for something in his passenger seat. I gave him the honk for all my brethren behind him. I honked for the honkless. I honked for the honky who would not honk. Yeah. And I'm like the Robin Hood of honking now. It's not for myself anymore. I honk from the rich, and I give to the poor with my honking. I honked to the guy and told him to get moving, but no one behind him would honk. What is going on here? I mean, if these gang members, this is the ultimate crime. They won't let us use our horns, these goddamn gang members.
Terrorism.
Yeah. And you usually get a warning shot or something before they actually aim it into the car. So please, everyone, start honking. I don't care. If I get honked on for not doing something, fine.
You know what it is? People are not aggressive drivers out here. They're passive aggressive. They're passive aggressive.
The thing I notice, because I travel around a lot, people on the East Coast, they're
very aggressive.
Change lanes quick. They move quick. They stop, go. Here, if traffic stops, people will just sit there and stop and wait.
Yes.
And if you move over into another lane, you're terrorized, and cut somebody, then the guy gets so pissed off.
Yes.
They want to kill you.
So this is the land where people zoom in front of you and then slow down.
Yeah.
To teach you a lesson.
Oh, listen. Yeah, we got a lot of angry people. We got a lot of pussies here. We got a lot of folks without insurance. And we got a lot of troublemakers or foreigners, as I call them, who don't know how to drive. And let's be honest. And people think this is a racist thing, but it's not. Let me explain why. I have to explain this every once in a while. You want to know why we get our ass kicked in soccer every year? Because these other countries have been playing their whole life.
Right.
This is what they say. I say the United States has the greatest athletes in the world. How come we come in 128th in soccer every year? They say, you know why? Because it's part of their culture.
Yeah.
They grew up, their parents, their grandparents, they've been playing soccer for hundreds of years. It's a new sport for you over here. I realize, yes, this is what goes on with driving. These grandparents were driving around 10 speeds.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Their parents were dragging rickshaws and driving mopeds around. This is like the first generation of a lot of these foreign folks who actually got four wheels under them, and they're not too good. They're about as good at driving as we are at soccer.
It's like picking up skiing as an adult or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be part of the culture.
Yeah.
Part of the culture. And, God
it's
willing.
Same as anything, picking up racing as an adult is difficult to do.
Yeah. Their kids and their kids' kids will be, hopefully, God willing, my son and his son will not have to use the horn against the son of the other men.
Or even better, they will use it properly.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right.
Paul
Tracy. Yeah, that's the guy you get. Paul Tracy, race car driver's here tonight. He's going to be at the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach this Sunday. I'll be there on Saturday, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Paul Tracy's here tonight. Paul is a fantastic race car driver. He's going to be down at the Grand Prix this week of Long Beach and the Toyota Grand Prix, that is. And they're also they're going to have some vintage Grand Prix cars down there, I think like 76 through 83 or something like that, doing a race.
Mm.
I think it's
pretty
Sunday.
Cool. I went and looked at them today. A lot of old Ferraris and... Had Gilles Villeneuve's car there, and in really good condition.
Yeah, really really bitchin' cars. Yeah, somebody figured out that these race cars, even when they're past their racing prime, are still worth quite a few bucks, and not to part them out or put them in a barn like they used to. Oh, it kills you when you think about it. You hear these stories. Some of these vintage race cars from the 60s and even early 70s, mid-70s, some of these things that were just like, back, we couldn't give them away after we were done racing them, you know. Now the GT40's worth $3 million.
Yeah.
They were asking
$6,500.
Oof. You know, it's like that. They didn't know what to do with them. They're like, well, you know, we campaigned the car in 69 and 70 and 71, and then 72 came in and the car was outdated. And what are you going to do with a race car? You can't drive it on the street.
Still, I see that all as symptomatic of the 70s, but anything that came before, anything old, meaning more than 2 years old, bad, trash, crap,
junk,
everything.
They sprayed that acoustic cottage cheese all over the car.
Of course.
They put gold glitter on it.
A little tiling.
Put some bad mirror tile on it.
How much old race cars are worth. You know, now, you know, it's... It's crazy what cars are worth.
Ferraris are into the millions. Many of them. I mean, there's tons of cars that are into the millions. But I mean, the Ferraris. It's not like, well, that one Ferrari's worth $2 million. It's like they all are. They have some kind of racing pedigree from the 60s, mm-hmm. early 70s, whatever, even beyond. They're just worth millions of dollars. And were considered sort of worth something, but not really. Not mm-hmm. back then. Like, what are you going to do? Can't drive them on the street. Can't race them anymore. All right, let's talk to... this is the same way I feel about my Beanie Babies. This is why I'm going to hang on to them, Drew.
God.
Yes.
So we've got Pokemon cards, too.
Yeah, Shrewd.
Oh, yeah.
Shrewd. David?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Sorry, hold on a second.
All righty.
Hello?
Hey, hello?
My question is, do you think it's important, like, if you have a girlfriend, do you think it's important to know their past relationships, like, sexually?
Sure. Well, yeah,
well if you think you're going to get a disease
right.
or something.
I mean, I know that, but, like, let's say her ex-boyfriend gave her an orgasm, but you couldn't.
No, that kind of history you don't need.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, because, like, that kind of happened to me, and I would do whatever. I mean, like, I would go for so long, and, like, I don't know. What's the deal? Yeah. She would tell me that, you know, she's had one before. And I was like, what's the deal? So, like, and other things, it kind of discourages you. Kind of lowers your confidence sometimes.
More mystery, less history.
Yes.
I mean, like, what do you think is important to know besides... know if they didn't get any diseases or anything like that?
Well, I mean, I think you want to know what their level of experience is, just to make sure. You know, if you're dating somebody who's went through the entire, you know, senior class at the high school, chances are she's a little nutty. She's got some issues, and you may just be one of those guys she's going through, mm-hmm. which is not always a bad thing, but if it's that sort of thing, you'd want to know. And if she has any, obviously, into diseases or any festering anythings, you'd want to know. But just getting into that history of, oh, yeah. I mean, and they don't even know what they're doing, those women. They're like, oh, thank God you have an average-sized penis. My last guy, oh.
He was so huge.
Oh, he was a can of paint. It was painful every time. Oh, and then went back door. Forget about it. I cried. It's like, now you're crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to... You don't need to hear that.
Yeah, nothing.
You always end up hearing it, but you don't need to hear it.
What's that?
Nothing in the bedroom you want to know too much about.
No,
not too much. Not too much.
Just they're not engaging at-risk behaviors.
All right.
Yeah. All right there, Dave. But you were able to find out that she had had an orgasm with the last guy?
Well, yeah, and, like, I don't know how or why, but whatever I did, it was like, she just wouldn't have
yeah. one. Well, lucky. Look at it as a lucky orgasm.
That's like a, you know, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it is like kind of like the...
All right, I'm done with David's half-baked
you have a small penis, you fag.
True, quiet down. Yeah, you don't need to know. I'm done asking. Yeah, you don't ask anything. You married, Paul?
Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. You're done talking to her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even want to know.
Yeah, I'm not... too inquisitive anyway.
Yeah,
so.
You don't even know about the past. I don't even want to know about the present. I don't even want to know about that.
How's she doing now?
I'm always 1 week ahead of wherever we are. Yeah. Let's talk to Katie, who's 24. Katie?
Oh, hi.
What's up?
Didn't think you'd get to me. I basically told whoever was on the phone. Who answers the phone?
Oh, just ask your question, would you?
Sorry. I should know better. I've listened to the show forever. My problem is that I'm a lesbian,
mm-hmm.
but I have problems or issues having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm uncomfortable in a way.
With a woman.
With a woman.
Yeah.
And I've never been with a man.
Sure, stop that.
I don't have any desire.
Mm-hmm.
Never been with a guy.
Paul turn you. He turned you right around.
I've heard that more than once.
About Paul?
I'm sorry, what?
Okay. Just checking. You've never been with a man, but yet you're uncomfortable with a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, this seems like a bad hand.
Yeah. It sounds like whatever sort of got her this way may have the reason why she's difficult in any type of relationship.
24.
What...
So were you sexually abused growing up or something?
I was molested,
yeah. Yeah, and so that's what I'm picking up on, that your sexuality got sort of scrambled by that, and now you are gay, and that's fine, and that's just the way you are.
Yeah.
But that really intimacy is the bigger issue with you, and that sexual abuse.
Maybe a woman did the sexual abuse.
No.
No?
No.
Who was it?
Neighbor boys.
All right.
Yeah.
That's bad. And girl?
Brothers.
Oh, just the brothers?
Yeah.
All right. And why can't you be with a woman, do you think?
I wish I could answer that.
Okay. She can't be vulnerable. She can't be intimate. That's just all the trauma stuff. And
how about a little therapy?
Do you have panic attacks, that sort of thing?
Yes, anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is all post-traumatic stress disorder. So you really need to get in there, get some treatment, get this managed, get some therapy for trauma survivorship. And as you said, you've been on some medication to help with some of that biology that's left behind. And maybe after you develop a relationship with a therapist, then you can become open and intimate in a real relationship.
All right. Paul Tracy, race car drivers here tonight. Going to be at the Long Beach Grand Prix Toyota coming up. Toyota Long Beach Grand Prix. Toyota Grand Prix Long Beach. Coming up this Sunday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Paul Tracy, our guest tonight. Paul is a extraordinary race car driver who's going to be down at the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach coming up this Sunday, and it's quite an event if you want to get out there and see the sights. Good for people watching. Good food too. It's not like the ballpark. Some good chow. You can buy some stuff. Get yourself like a miracle chamois. And
you might even see some porn stars.
Yeah, they have porn stars out there. They got everybody. They got those chicks. They just got some chicks like for English leather or something running around. I don't know. Like good looking women, rich old guys. A lot of people getting a good buzz going by noon. Yeah, it's a crowd that likes to get drunk and watch other people do stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, but they got some money. They back it up. You work their
sounds
way
like
into.
Sounds like a strip club.
Yeah, you slide into the hospitality tent, you crack a few buds, you suck up some nachos, and you watch the whole race on the TV from the hospitality tent while you're getting drunk. I don't know why you couldn't just get a 12-pack at home and watch it on TV, but
it's not the same.
It's not the same. You don't get to hear the sounds, see the sights. All right, let's talk to Zach, who's 23. Zach.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Hey.
I just had a question for Paul Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, how do you think you're shaping up against the rest of the circuit this year?
Well, I think pretty good. I've got we've had two races so far this year, and I've won the first two, so that's gone pretty well. Right now, I mean, at this point of the season, it's the Newman Haas team with Sebastian Bourdais has been the fastest guy, and Bruno Junqueira. They'll be strong all year.
Okay, those are the guys to look out for. Yeah.
Yeah.
His number one competition is himself.
I'm my own worst enemy sometimes.
Yeah, he's doing all the winning. He doesn't worry about who's behind him.
One more question, Paul, and I'll let you go. Sure. I was wondering how you got involved. How'd you get started in racing? From what age were you when you started?
I started racing when I was six. I had a little mini bike in the garage when I was about five, and I was showing off to one of my friends and started it up, and it took off across the garage and went through the garage door. So my dad took it away from me, and then a couple months later he brought home a go-kart, and we just kind of went from there.
So you started, yeah, let's go through your racing here, I mean, briefly, but you started off with go-karts,
mm-hmm.
Then into what? Shriner
I went.
Cars?
I went to what they would call as Formula Ford, which is an open wheel car with a 1600 liter Ford engine.
Mm-hmm. Right
1600 cc, not
right.
liter. 1600 cc.
What age
Ford
are
engine.
You?
I was 16. You could start racing in Canada
at 16.
And then from there it was Formula Ford 2000, which is a 2000 cc. And then from there I went to Formula Atlantic, and then Indy Lights, and then Indy Lights to Indy Cars.
And this was, well, how old are you now?
34.
Yeah, you look pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
Have you had any horrible crashes?
A couple. I've been pretty lucky. I've had a lot of crashes over the years, but I've never had any major ones. I broke my leg once, and I fractured a vertebrae in my neck, but nothing that's kept me out of the car for a long time.
Is Long Beach, I guess I've been down to Long Beach probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 times. I've never really seen any bad crashes over there the times that I went. Is it considered a fairly safe course?
No, it's a safe track. I mean, the track, a lot of the street courses we go to, they're slower. The speeds are slower in the corners. I mean, the straightaway at Long Beach, we'll hit 190.
Will you get up to 190?
Yeah, we hit 190 on the straight, but the corner at the end is about a 40 or 50 mile an hour corner. So they give a lot of room for runoff, and the tracks are designed pretty safe now. So it's a lot better than it was in the 70s, and the way the cars are designed, they're designed to protect the driver, not be basically a ball of fuel around you when you hit something. The cars used to catch fire. And
yeah, and they didn't really have, like, if you go, you watch the Speed Channel and you watch all these vintage shows from the 60s and 70s, they didn't really, have a whole lot of consideration for safety.
No, they weren't designed for safety. I mean, those cars were all aluminum, and when you'd hit something, they'd, basically you're sitting inside of a Coke can.
Yep.
And on each side of you was a fuel tank, and when you ruptured the fuel tank, the car would catch fire, and it was just pretty much bad news.
Guys' feet would hang out, way over where the cage was and stuff, so if they ran into anything, their feet basically hit first. I mean, it was, I guess they sort of figured that, I think back in the day, they looked at race car driving as sort of like a daredevil, like you're doing, you're a stunt pilot or jumping motorcycles or something. It was
pretty much. I mean, I read Mario Andretti's book, and I mean, he talks about all the friends that he lost, and he was amazed that he didn't have any, bigger accidents than what he had. With some of the cars that he drove in the 60s and 70s were real dangerous.
They didn't have roll bars and stuff for a long time. It was bad times. They didn't have those fuel cells. Fuel just flew out everywhere and caught on fire. Now they got these fuel cells that are made out of ballistic material. You shoot them with a shotgun. They don't do anything. Oh, yeah. I think I got one of those in my car, I got a full ride from Toyota this year, to pick me up for one race. Bridget?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yeah.
Oh, if Angie Everhart beats me, I swear I'll cry. That's the only... I can't have Angie Everhart or Buzz Aldrin beat me. That's my two main concerns for the race.
Okay. What if you crash?
I'll have to get out of the car. If I crash,
throw yourself in front of their car.
I got to take them into the wall with me or something.
Take them with
you. They cannot beat me. Bridget?
Yeah.
You're 16, so what's going on?
Okay, a couple of my friends were already had sex, and after their second or third time, it felt good. And I've had sex 8 times, and it's never felt good. It's hurt really bad, except for my first time. I didn't feel anything because he was really small. But
same guy every time, or?
No.
How many different guys?
Five
different guys, and you don't enjoy it?
No.
It's like a heroin addict doing heroin and they don't like it. Why do you do it then?
Well, because I figure it's going to get better, because everybody, this is the more you do it, the better it gets.
Yeah, but I think you keep hopping to or on the new guy. I think that's the problem. I think you got to work it out with one guy.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you got to have a relationship.
Mm. It's not going to feel better otherwise.
Well, my cherry's never popped either, I don't think. Cause, I mean,
if a penis went inside you, the hymen is broken.
Yeah? For sure?
For sure.
What about the guy with the really small one?
For sure.
Okay. Hey, Bridget.
Yeah.
Are you seeing a guy now?
Kind of, yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
You like him?
Kind of.
Well, what's up?
Well, he's not really someone you'd want to settle down with. He's
Dad just moved away.
What is he?
Just now.
I don't know. He's,
where's your dad?
I live with my dad.
You do?
Where's your mom?
My mom lives 6 hours away from me.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with her?
They got a divorce.
And?
When did she pull up stakes?
When did she what?
Leave.
Oh, she left a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, Drew said, 2 years, year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Your mom, how often do you see her?
I see her Christmas, and she comes up for some of my dance stuff, so I see her pretty often.
And why aren't you living with her?
Because all my school is up here and everything.
How do you feel about this, being away from her?
I'd rather live with her, but it's...
What's Dad like?
We didn't really get along. I don't know, when I was younger, he wasn't really there.
Where's my bourbon?
You're living, you sort of don't have a parent now.
Oh, kind of. No.
Yeah, that sucks. No wonder you're running amok here and just jumping around trying to find some way to feel better.
Well, it's like muck, but it starts with an F.
Running an F, yeah.
So, Bridget, mm-hmm. you need to find a guy that you're into and have a relationship with him.
Okay.
And then it'll feel good.
Right now, you're just sort of recreating these abandonments. You know, your mom abandoned you. Your dad's never been available.
Well, my mom didn't really abandon me.
Well, effectively, she has. And that may not have been a willful abandonment, yeah. but she's gone. And so you're reenacting that over and over and over again. Hey, you can stop, okay?
Okay.
Just have a real relationship. It'll be all right. You're worth it.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, baby doll. Bye. Good times. Let's talk to Katie, who's 16, too. Katie?
Hi.
What's up?
Like, my nipples are cracked. They're not, like, solid, like the end of your, like, pinky or something. And it's been like that since, like, I can remember. Mm-hmm. And, like, on the very tip, it's, like, a light yellow or something, and I could actually like peel it away if I wanted to, like a scab.
Yeah.
It's really weird, and I don't know. I have like a bunch of like boyfriends, and they've like actually seen my boobs, and they have no problem. They like haven't even noticed anything.
Yeah,
or noticed anything.
They would know if a sprinkler key was sticking out of your forehead.
Yeah,
really,
again,
they got a boner.
Like guys don't really know anything.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we know. We just don't care. There's a difference.
There you go.
Yeah. The important part is that you're naked, and they're not about
and you're there.
Not about to jeopardize that by making fun of your nipples.
I've never really I haven't had sex or anything.
Yeah, what are you doing with these guys?
Just like oral or something, but I haven't done that unless like I've been with them for like a long time. Like I won't do it after a month. I actually wait a while. So.
All right, All right. So what's going on with the nipples, Drew?
Are they getting irritated? Are they rubbing up against something repeatedly?
No, well, if somebody else touches me, then it's a little sensitive, but I could do that, and it doesn't bother me at all.
Do you ever try putting any moisturizing creams on there, anti-inflammatory creams, that sort of thing?
I haven't tried that.
I got a theory. These guys that you're giving oral to, do they have reinforced knees on their jeans?
Hmm. What?
Yeah, you see what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah, I hear you.
If they were standing, fly was open, she was down in front of them. It'd be just about right for that. I used to wear the reinforced knee.
Sure.
I'd wear the super denim. Oh, you know, the JCPenney
jeans.
The
serious. Oh, yeah.
The shiny ones that the chicks dug. Paul, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Chicks dig that. They see a guy with that big reinforced patch on his knee. They know he means business.
I've only given Nora once.
Oh, yeah, only once?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what about some cream on there, Drew?
Yeah, just work. Pretend it's skin that was irritated.
Are you sure? Because it's been like that for a long time.
Well, I don't quite know what you're describing.
Maybe she's lactating a little bit, and that's just dried up.
That occurred to me, but have a doctor take a look at it. That's about the best thing you can do.
Oh, okay.
Because it's hard for me to get an image of what you're describing here, but it just sounds like inflamed from some reason, maybe from rubbing.
There's like cracks in it. It's weird.
I know, but that's just inflammation.
You've not thought to put any, hand cream on it?
Well, I have before, but, I've never really been dedicated to it.
Right. How about you rededicate yourself to putting cream on your boobs?
Utter bomb.
And all women should now dedicate themselves to doing that.
Okay.
All right, your phone's run out of battery, so we're going to let you go.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. She didn't seem too concerned about it.
No.
Let's talk to... people out here don't know what utter bomb is, I don't think. Yeah. Well, of course, phone screener Brian knows because he knows everything. But Paul, you know what utter bomb is?
Tara gave me that...
Tara barely knows her last name, but utter bomb is this stuff that I guess they use it. You should like Minnesota and stuff like that.
It's Northern Plains thing.
I guess you'd rub it on the udder of a cow.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps it moist
during the cold months.
Yeah, yeah. Keeps it supple.
Yeah,
yeah.
They use it on their hands and stuff.
Yeah,
it's good times.
Yeah. Oh, it's antiseptic cream, says Brian, the phone screener. Yeah, whatever. I thought it was just like hand cream. I didn't know it was.
It has a whole bunch of stuff in it. Apparently,
it's good stuff. I don't recommend...
Secret formula.
Can you beat off with it?
Similar to bag bomb?
Of course.
You can?
Of course.
Really? All right. I'll try that out.
How dare you.
Gina?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, you're 27. What's up?
I am. First of all, I want to tell you guys that you're awesome. The only thing, and it's not really a criticism, it's just that earlier in the segment, Drew was talking to the woman that was on birth control but also taking the antibiotic. And I used to work in an abortion clinic.
Hold on a second. What antibiotic were you talking?
Tricyclin, or not tricyclin, the doxycycline.
Diflucan?
No, it was a cycline.
All right.
Yeah, but she had a question about yeast infections and clitoral megaly and stuff.
Yeah, but the only thing I really wanted to say was that...
That'll screw up the effectiveness of the pill, of course, yeah. Any of the tetracyclines will, but that wasn't what we were talking about.
Oh, no, I understand. I was just, I guess, wanted to say that to women is because so many times their doctors fail to tell them that anytime they're taking a medication with birth control pills, they can totally get pregnant. So they need to use a backup method, and I just saw so many women who had no idea.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
A lot of teenage girls don't want to tell their family doctors that I'm on the pill. So.
Right, it's a good point. In fact, tetracycline is the one that classically does it, and she mentioned doxycycline, which is a type of tetracycline. Other medication, we really don't know how much it interacts with the pill, but basically the best rule of thumb is if you're on any antibiotic and almost any medication, you should use a second backup method.
When you say backup, you mean anal?
Condom. And or backup, the way you mean it.
I see. I'm confused.
Yeah. Well, both backup or backup.
Gina.
Yes.
You worked at an abortion clinic?
I did. I was a counselor.
Oh, boy. How'd that go?
I loved it.
You did?
I did. I loved it because women would come in and they were nervous. They were scared. They really didn't know that much about their bodies. Like I said, so many women got pregnant and they were on the pill. And, of course, there's always user error, but a lot of times it was because they were on an antibiotic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because... we were able to talk with women not just about the procedure, but also about their bodies and, you know, how to keep. We gave them a lot of information so that they could take better care of themselves and be more responsible. And
did you get into the morning after pill?
Yes, we did. And we also handed out sheets that gave different dosages of their current prescriptions. So if they...
So it worked like the morning after?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what, you get shot at by any Christians or anything?
No, we had weekly protesters.
You did? Weekly. Yeah. What would they do?
They would just stand outside. I mean, well, since FACE was enacted, they're not allowed to come up to the clinic door or block access to the entrance. But they had gory pictures, and, you know, they tried to yell at women coming in through the front door.
You know what you got to do? You got to pee in one of those old fire extinguishers and then hose them down when you're pulling in. That's what I do.
We can't. That'd be harassment. They have just as much right to say what they feel as we do.
Well, they have a right to protest. You have a right to pee in a fire extinguisher.
Gina, any sense of why people have such a problem with the morning after pill?
To be quite honest, I think it's a religious thing. That was just my interpretation of it.
Every single person I've ever spoken to that has an objection to it refuses to come to terms with how it actually works.
A lot of people refuse to come to terms with how a lot of things work when it comes to birth control.
Well, listen, you're dealing with people who think the Earth is 2,000 years old and that Noah took an ark and filled it full of two of every animal and put it on top of a mountain somewhere. I mean, you're not dealing with scientists here. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So why are you trying to preach science to people who aren't interested in science?
Aren't interested in the truth, yeah.
Well, that's that's science, yeah. Good.
But these are the same people that, you know, encourage women to abstain, which is pretty much ludicrous because 16-year-old girls and boys are not going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to offer birth control to them, tell them to keep their babies when they are not in a position to do so, and then refuse them welfare when they do decide to keep them.
Yeah.
So,
well, they hopscotch around. That's all right.
Completely. They don't want to take responsibility, but they want you to do it. And then when the kid
they didn't want aborted finally puts a shiv in someone at age 15, they want to put him in the chair, which is good too, which I'm all for, but I'm just saying, I'm consistent. I want the abortion and the chair.
Oh yeah. Well,
I would like to do a program where we abort the fetus and then 20 years later actually put it in the electric chair.
The same one.
Figuring it would have caused some crime along the way. Really sending a message. Really a strong anti-crime message. Paul, we think Paul's nodding his head feverishly. I can tell he agrees. Yes, Paul?
I agree.
Paul has to leave in a few minutes.
Yeah, it would take one more call. Right. You got anything up here for Paul? He's got some car-related questions up here.
No.
I may just have to talk about cars for a while before Paul leaves.
All right,
let's see. Paul got himself the new Merce. Oh, driving in the race?
Yeah.
No. I'm only nervous
You're not there yet, though.
Nah, I won't be nervous.
No?
Adam barely has a pulse.
I hate to brag. I really do. I really do. God knows I hate
but
to brag.
But here we go.
I did a bunch of laps with the instructor on the track a few weeks ago. And
but there's no crowd there. There's no people watching.
Instructor said, never saw somebody calmer than me.
Tell him the pee story.
You must have smoked a bowl before
that, huh? The pee story?
I don't get, I mean, I'll be excited to do it. Here's what I'll be nervous about. I'll be nervous about not doing well, but not nervous about the actual, you know, I'm not nervous about crashing or nervous about anything bad happening. I'm just being nervous about.
The same for me. I get more worried about wanting to do well than.
Yeah.
Whether I'm going to crash or whether this is going to happen or that's going to happen. You want your own anticipation levels are so high that you want to do well to save face for yourself.
Well, and there's like a point, like I said, for me it's Angie Everhart or Buzz Aldrin beating me. That's really where the nerve set is.
Competition.
But there's, I think in anything that you do, Drew, over here.
I'm listening.
Over here. There's anything you do. I mean, you don't do everything. You know, you don't get up to the home plate when you're playing a softball game and expect to hit it over the center field wall.
But you just
want
to hit
it 400 feet away.
Yeah.
That might be out of your range. Maybe if you're, you know, Ken Griffey Jr., Mark McGwire, that's what you expect, and you might be disappointed if you didn't. But if you're us, you don't expect to do that. But you know you can get a nice double. And if you strike out, you're going to be disappointed because you know you're capable of getting that double. And this is the kind of situation where you kind of get one trip to the plate, and there's a lot of people watching, and you know you could put one in the alley and get a nice stand-up double, and that's what you hope you do.
Yeah.
So you're not nervous about not hitting the home run, but you are nervous about fouling one off your nutsack and limping back to the dugout and having Buzz Aldrin and Andy Everhart beat you. That's the main concern. Hopefully we'll get Josh Brolin here tomorrow night, who you wouldn't be nervous about beating you because he's fast.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? All right, Drew, I wish you were out there.
Just so you could kick my ass?
That's right. Wuss you. Mm. All right, that's it for Paul Tracy. Always good.
Good luck.
Always good to see you. Oh, yeah, no, you'll be down.
I'll be there if you need any tips. Come around and see me.
You'll be there on Saturday?
I'll be there all weekend.
Yeah. I'm looking at, I'm not just driving tips, but I actually want to screw with the car a little, like advance the timing. Maybe take the back seat out of it, roll the windows up. You know,
I like using what they call the chrome horn.
Yeah, what's that? How's that work?
Well, the front bumpers on older cars are chrome, and I use that as a horn.
Use that?
Yeah, that's my horn.
Yeah, but there's going to be nobody in front of me. Nobody but Buzz and Angie.
If there is, use the chrome horn.
All right, I'm using the chrome horn on those two. Drew?
Yeah, I'll be here to.
I'm going to give you the flesh horn. Get in that bathroom. Paul Tracy, everybody. Best of luck on Sunday. I'll be rooting for you, and I'll see you there on Saturday. Until then, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Paul Tracy has left the building, and now it's just me and my on-and-off-again lover, Dr. Drew.
Off again?
On and off.
Okay.
Yeah. What are you eating there, Drew?
Donut.
Nice job. Drew, did you want to be watching the news today?
A little bit. Why?
Seeing those big Saddam statues getting yanked down and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people are pretty excited that he's gone over there, which is good.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of you Yahoo lefties over there were predicting something different, but magically, when the Berlin Wall comes down, you got everyone pretty much picking up a sledgehammer and seeing what they can do to get it down. And when you see Saddam's statue coming down, you got a bunch of people kicking it in the head with a sandal. doesn't say anything to all you folks that are allegedly for the little people out there?
That's the thing that kills me. I mean, just look, can't you learn from this that this guy could not have been dislodged? Look what it took to dislodge this guy. Some economic sanction was going to take this guy out? No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
And look at how he encouraged his people to, I mean, the lawlessness and the cruelty and the horrible way his people behaved.
Yeah.
They needed to go. That's it. And they need to be liberated. And the only way to do that, unfortunately, we didn't ask for that. There's only one way you can do that.
Yeah, you gotta punch a tyrant in the mouth. You can't talk to him about it. You just dance around.
Impossible.
And all your embargoes and economic sanctions and all that kind of stuff, all that does is make the people that don't have anything have even less while he craps in another gold toilet.
And then I feel safer in the world right now. Because, look, what's a terrorist? What's it do for terrorists now to come take a punch at us now? Really? You want to do that?
Yeah. We'll come over there and kick your ass. And listen... Here's the other thing, too, that I'm glad we're talking about in this war that I've never really heard in wars past, is we're actively talking about snuffing the guy out, which in the past we'd normally talk around it, mm-hmm. you know? We have target acquisitions, and we want to bring him to justice, right. and all this kind of double talk about snuffing somebody. But we're openly admitting that we want the guy dead, and we've been doing that with bin Laden, and I like that. Let's face it. We want to kill the guy. It's fine. Let's speak in those terms. And I do like to see the guys yank down the statue, though, and really go nuts on the statue. It's like... Well, see, we put Saddam put your brother into a wood chipper, so now you're going to take your Hirachi and beat the crap out of his plaster head. That seems like payback.
Yeah, sure.
I bet Saddam, if he's alive, can feel those.
From heaven.
You think he's in heaven, Drew? You see, Saddam goes to heaven. Think he's in heaven?
I don't know how...
Well, how Allah works.
What the Quran tells, yeah. I don't know. Is there a hell there?
I think the hell is actually Iraq.
Yeah.
And then you die, and you go to heaven. But it can't be our heaven. Their heaven has to be our hell, which is still a step up from where they're living.
Okay.
All right. So you say Saddam in heaven.
I don't know.
You don't want to go on a branch?
I'll go to a branch. I'll say purgatory.
Purgatory? Not even hell? What's it take to get into hell these days?
I don't know if Islam has... it must have a hell, yeah?
Oh, no, see, once the... and listen, this is true with all the religions. Uh-huh. Be it... I don't care if you're Islamic or Jewish or whatever you are. Once you die, you find out we're right with our religion, and then you meet the devil.
I see.
And he just... he torments you.
Oh, that's right.
With
that's
a pitchfork.
Right. Because they were never...
We got the right religion here.
They never took the oath of some church.
Yeah, and they automatically go to our hell.
Right, right, right.
Because we're right with our religion, and they get tormented for not believing in
or for not
Jesus
knowing
Christ.
That they needed to...
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right, right. Ashley?
Hi.
You're 15?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Not too much. I had a question. First of all, I want to say you guys are freaking awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. A while back, I was given a drug and taken advantage of by a guy.
What was the drug?
I'm not positive that's what I was calling for.
Okay.
How do you know you're given a drug?
Well, because he, I knew the guy for probably about a day. And, he went into the kitchen to get me something to drink. And I don't know what happened to me. I basically was paralyzed. I kind of could see and hear everything that's going on, but I couldn't do anything about it.
Hmm.
He didn't rape me, but he did force a lot of things on me.
Like what?
Like oral and manual things.
Hmm. That's rape. You don't have to have intercourse.
Yeah, yeah. Technically rape, but now he forced you to perform oral on him?
No, I couldn't move.
He did it on you?
Yes.
But you were awake.
Yeah, I was kind of in and out.
In and out.
This guy sounds like a retarded criminal to me. It's like, yeah. I'm going to paralyze my victim so I can go down on him.
When you were out, were you asleep?
What kind of strategy is that?
Huh?
When you were out, were you asleep?
I was not.
No, she could see. She just couldn't feel anything.
She's describing things very strangely. Had you ever been severely traumatized when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you sound like you were dissociating, that you were not on drugs.
What did he get you to drink?
No, I'm not sure that happened.
I know, I'm just curious. Maybe it was a fifth of a chin.
No, it actually was just, I'm pretty sure it was just some kind of lemonade.
Yeah.
I would be suspicious.
How old is this guy?
He was actually 19.
19. Is he a smart guy?
Obviously not.
Well, what I mean is...
I don't know. I didn't know him.
You didn't know him?
I did not know him.
Hold on, let me talk to Drew for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, Drew, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
You're thinking that she was a victim in the past, and this guy began to victimize
her. And she froze.
And she dissociated and kind of froze up.
Which is a real common thing for victims.
Right.
And she made everything.
Feels as if you're paralyzed.
It's like an out-of-body experience. That's what they have.
Right.
But there are no drugs that will do that.
Really?
You're either in or you're out with drugs. You're out of it, and you kind of come to, and somebody might be doing something to you, and then you're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sort of feel out of body. I mean, ketamine can do that, make you feel sort of out of body. But even then, not reliably enough that somebody would give you that in order to use it as a date rape
mm-hmm.
drug.
Can you give me some of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pharmacy never called me today, by the way.
Ashley?
Hmm?
I scored. All right. That's cool. Ashley?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to you in the past?
Oh, it's a never-ending list. When I was from the ages of 3 to 7, just about every day I was molested by my brother.
That's all you need to know. Okay. That's enough to send you into these fugue states when somebody starts victimizing you.
Well, so then I guess the question is we'd like to call the guy a rapist, mm-hmm. but I don't think there's any way to prove that he drugged you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not so sure he drugged you based on your history
mm-hmm.
and your ability to sort of freeze up in these situations and dissociate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So... on the other hand, he's an adult and you're a minor, so it seems like there's something there. How long ago did this happen?
Probably it was at the end of August, last August.
Were you 14 then?
Yeah.
Mm. And he was 19 still?
Yes.
But you didn't call the cops, did you?
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The thing is I really don't, just about a year ago, my dad's always been abusive.
Right.
And a year ago, I came to visit him. I hadn't seen him for about 6 years.
Yeah.
And he wanted to see me for a weekend. And basically, to wrap it all up, I came home to the hospital. He tried to kill me and left me out in the middle of the desert.
Ashley.
Your dad tried to kill you.
Yes.
Ashley, have you ever thought you maybe had a multiple personality disorder?
What do you mean?
Anybody ever said, do you ever go into, find things you bought that you don't remember
True.
Buying?
True. Maybe you're not talking to the personality that got diagnosed with the multiple personality disorder. Ever think about that?
Did you ever do things where you come home and things were purchased, you don't remember buying them, that kind of thing?
No.
How'd your dad try to kill you and leave you in the middle of the desert?
Well, I came to visit him and we were in a hotel. He's always had anger problems. It was weird enough that he brought me somewhere that was 7 hours away from his house. And,
Well, how did he try to kill you?
Oh, he just beat the crap out of me.
And he beat the crap out of you, like...
Like, he was strangling me. Like, I could not... My body was done.
Left you for dead in the desert?
Yeah, basically.
And what happened?
A Greyhound bus came and I took it home.
You didn't report this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You did?
Yeah.
And what happened to him?
He's actually probably sitting at home right now.
I see. He didn't get prosecuted for trying to kill his daughter?
The trial's not over yet.
He
used to hang out at home for attempted murder?
Yeah. I don't like the judicial system. I really don't like dealing with police because my entire life they've just screwed me over.
Okay, hold on. Let me talk to Drew for a minute. Okay, so this Ashley's got some serious issues.
But even reality's not fitting together, right?
Yeah, she was raped, but the guy
didn't drug her.
But she was attempted. Her dad attempted to murder her and leave her in the desert.
But he's then sitting
she
home. Just,
she got up and got on a bus, and then he's sitting at home. Now I'm not questioning Ashley in terms of these guys being world class a-holes or criminals. But it probably didn't go down exactly how she's describing it to us. Either way, she's been through a ton, been to hell and back. Ashley,
mm-hmm.
How about some therapy?
You're telling me to go get therapy?
Yeah, I am.
How dare you, Adam?
Yeah, I know.
What makes you think that would be of any use to somebody?
Listen, I told my dad missed a handful of Pop Warner football games. I'm still in therapy. Your dad tried to kill you. And your brother was raping you your whole life. You need therapy.
Yeah.
How about it?
I'm actually in therapy.
Okay.
And I've been in counseling for a while.
Okay. All right. So here's the advice. You ready? I'm a genius, right?
Yep.
Okay. So you got to listen to me.
Okay.
Everybody listen to me.
Okay.
You need to not get pregnant. You need to be very careful about the guys you choose to hang around with.
You will have more of these sort of...
them giving you the Jim Jones Kool-Aid and then going down on you. And by the way, where are all the broads who are giving me the iced tea and trying to blow me? What happened to them? Where was I in high school when this stuff was going down? Never happened once.
I don't think women do that, interestingly.
Ah, maybe you're right.
Very sexist.
Ashley, watch out for guys. Don't get pregnant. Don't go visit your dad anymore. And therapy, therapy, and more therapy, all right?
Thank you.
All right, and don't get in all chaotic relationships and everything, all right?
Oh, I'll try and stay away from
Don't do any crazy threesomes or make any porn films, all right?
Okay, thanks. You guys are awesome.
Unless you're hot. All right. All right.
God.
Oh, I'll tell you. You take these kids, you scramble their brain like a broken yolk, and then expect them to go through life without omelet head.
But it...
Yes.
But it's interesting. You wonder what the real experiences were that she had with her dad and with this guy. I really wonder what actually, if he had a video camera of what happened.
I would reckon that her dad's probably a prick. She's got a lot of weird and crazy energy. They probably got into it. They probably, you know, started slapping and shaking her and, you know, and she's scratching him and whatever. And he told her to get out of the car.
Yeah.
And drove home.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably the way that went down.
Yeah, and then the other guy was probably just a guy making out. Is all of a sudden she's available and
guy thought, yeah, he gave my for the price of a glass of old time lemonade. I scored. The guy just thought he was operating.
Yeah, that's all.
And the reason, look, if you're going to drug somebody,
they're going to rape them.
Yeah, hump them.
Yeah,
I mean that's the first thing my dad told me when I was going off to college. His son, if you're going to give someone a roofie, you hump. I remember that very clearly. You don't give someone a roofie and then go down on them.
That doesn't happen.
That's the most retarded strategy I've ever
heard. Well, that is retarded. A guy going down on him is to get a sexual response. You ain't going to get it if somebody's asleep.
Yeah, so this guy gave her the drink and then slid down there. He thought he was just a smooth operator.
Yeah.
True, we got to move to Canada.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I'm talking tonight.
Oh, okay.
Forget about the family.
It's just you and me.
It's me and you, buddy. Yeah. We hop into my car.
The Z?
Swing by the ATM. Clean it out. I got like a $250 limit my ATM.
Oh, yeah.
Swing by yours. Tap that thing out. Gas up the Z.
Just go.
And we just start driving down the coast, buddy.
You know what?
We hit the Canadian border.
Let's just go the other way. Let's go to Vegas.
No. We got to get out of the country.
Really?
They can track you down there. Yeah. You send some money orders home to the old lady. She sees fit that the kids are taken care of. We set up shop there. Get a little job. I do a thing where I do salmon fishing expeditions.
Ooh.
Get a little pontoon plane.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. You sit back in the cabin. You fry up the fish. It's a good life.
Barber and surgeon.
Let's talk about this.
All right.
We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Forget about that phone number. We don't need your stinking calls. We got a little bit of show to go. But this is where I really hit my stride, Drew.
Fantastic.
Listen to this. Angelina?
Yes.
You're 31?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
My 12-year-old daughter told me today that she lost her virginity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been worried about this because she's been hanging out with this really bad kid. He's 13. He does drugs. His parents do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
She's smoked pot with him. I know that she's given him oral sex a few times. And I've talked to her about this, told her the dangers of sex. And today she didn't come home till 8 o'clock. And when she came home, it came out that... She had sex with him. And
why? How'd it come out?
Yeah.
Did she tell you?
Well, she said that she forgot what time it was. And I was like, you were either stoned or you had sex. There's no way you forgot what time it was. You're lying.
Mm-hmm.
And she went over to a neighbor's house. Or she denied it and was yelling and screaming. And she went over to a neighbor's house and came back and was crying and said she wanted a hug and then told me what happened.
How do you know about the oral sex before this?
I tricked her.
Yeah.
I went online in one of her little chatting sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And you pretended to be somebody?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Nice. And now what grade is she in?
She's in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And dad's not around.
No, and I know she's starving for male attention.
And what did she do for contraception today?
She said she used a condom.
Mm, you still might.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe when you get that morning after pill going for her, or at least get her on some birth control, right?
Well,
that'd be priority one.
I don't think she wants to get her 12-year-old on birth control.
Yeah, but she's out of control, right? I mean, this is priority one here. This is damage control at this point.
And where's Dad living in Florida?
He's never been in the picture.
Is he in Florida? He's in Florida. It's got to be somewhere around Florida.
Where is he, Dad?
He's in another state.
What state?
Why does that matter? He's in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Oh,
that's second. Yeah. That's number two. Yeah. Florida's number one, Nevada number two on the scumball S-rolling downhill scale.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
16.
Were you abused sexually before that or something?
I was when I was really young, yeah.
Okay, well, there we go.
And so Dad basically has never been in the picture. She talked about him or wanted to contact him?
She wants me to get child support from him so she can have money to buy clothes, but she's not interested in meeting him.
Is there any other new guys in the picture for you?
Yes.
What happened with that?
Actually, he came over last weekend.
But did your daughter have a stepdad?
Oh, she did for a while, and I divorced him, and he refused to talk to her after that. He changed his phone number. He told his family not to talk to her. It was pretty cruel.
And how'd that go with him and her? Did they get along well?
Actually, they did.
They did?
Mm-hmm. And she called him Dad. She was really young. She was 3 when I got married.
Okay. Right. You and your daughter need to get some conjoint work, some therapy together. There's some real serious boundary problems here.
And you
can't set limits on her. You can't control her behavior. You intrude on her, but then when it comes to really setting down and asserting things you need to do, you're powerless. So you need to get in and get some help with this, because this is not a good situation.
No, I know.
This is the exact opposite combination. As opposed to you being the parent and being able to contain her behaviors, you're having to sort of drop down to peer level and go on.
Why'd you divorce the stepdad?
He became abusive.
Right.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. So.
But you know what? Yeah. After that, I haven't dated any abusive men. I've dated very nice.
Okay.
Men.
So you're coming out of your thing. You don't want her to go through what you went through.
Exactly.
All right. So my heart goes out to you, but unfortunately, you got your work cut out for you, and you got to get that therapy with her.
Yeah, you got to do that.
She talks to a therapist at school, and the therapist pulls me aside and says this kid's really dangerous, but to her, she's had another therapist. They don't get tough with her.
Wait, Angelina, they pulled you aside and said your daughter is in dangerous shape?
Well, this kid that she's enamored with is dangerous.
I see. All right.
Well, maybe they got to do therapy together.
They need to in the worst way. That's why I'm
saying. And listen, this is what happens every time. You make a bad decision. I'm going to take it back further. You get abused growing up, so you hook up with some abusive a-hole because that's who you're magically attracted to. Then you get pregnant by the abusive a-hole. Then magically the abusive a-hole leaves. Then you're left to single-handedly raise your daughter. Meanwhile, your daughter takes all her anger, frustration, and hurt out on you the entire
about
time.
About the dad. But plus, you're a trauma survivor and can't set adequate boundaries with the daughter, and now you've got a mess.
Okay. So you got to get some therapy. You got to do the work. Sorry.
Conjoint there. There's the two of you together, so that you can be coached on how to manage her.
Lynn?
Yeah.
What's up? You're 22.
Yeah, I just had a question about anal sex.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I've been, having anal sex for, 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Right around there.
Nonstop?
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah?
Ahead.
Stopping for meals.
I see.
Yeah, off and on. Yeah. My boyfriend really likes it, so.
Okay, and the question?
Lately, the last month and a half, 2 months or so, I've been noticing blood,
Perfectly normal.
Perfectly healthy. You're noticing blood, in your stool?
Yeah.
Bad times.
What's your question?
Why? I mean, is that checked out, or is there something?
No, why would a fantasy answer? Well, why would you have bleeding massively from the rectum? Start marathon running at that point, I'd say.
Oh, Drew, please.
Extreme right. Exercise.
Well, listen, you figure this is from the anal sex, right? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, or is it an ulcer or something?
Not an ulcer. Whatever it is, it's actually an emergency because rectal bleeding can become brisk and it can be dangerous. So whether it's a fissure or a hemorrhoid or actually have some colitis or a polyp or God knows what up there, whether it is or is not related to the anal sac, I think we can surmise it is, it's something that categorically needs to be checked out immediately.
Okay.
All right?
And you may want to lay off the anus for a couple
in the meantime,
of,
yeah. In spite of your boyfriend's enamored, you know, the well, enamored.
Do you like it too, Lynn?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes,
oh, but yet you've been engaging in it for 5 years. What's up?
I don't do it if I don't want to.
Okay. Yeah, but you're not really into it. It's only sometimes enjoyable to you. Oh well.
All right.
Get it checked out. Please take care of yourself.
All right.
At very least, get on some iron in the meantime because you're going to be iron deficient.
And listen, ladies, all of you out there, do not do anything you don't want to do unless I ask you to do it. All right? That goes for all ladies. That goes for my mom down to newborns.
Okay, buddy.
And it's not all going to be sexual. The lion's share of it will be. But some will just be basic tasks, you know, freshen up the coffee, turn down the bed, that kind of thing.
Nice.
All right?
It's a good life.
All right. But the bulk of it will be anal requests.
No doubt.
We'll be back. Well, there's the show, everybody. I want to thank Paul Tracy, a race car driver, for coming out here tonight. It's going to be at the Toyota Grand Prix this weekend in Long Beach. And tomorrow night,
possibly
Josh Brolin will come in here. He is also going to be driving in the celebrity race, so we'll see about that. I want to thank everyone who should be thanked. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Well, you did overdose. That's why you hallucinate.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was trying to overdose to get high, but not to, like, overdose. And
this has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.